We're starting a new mini-series here now that we finished the Gospel of Mark, and every now and then I do this. We have a long series that's running parallel to our Through the Bible series, and it's biographies of Bible saints. And I thought what we would do is hit Aquila and Priscilla as a husband and wife team in the New Testament, and on their biblical, effective, so-called lay Christian ministries. And the lesson tonight is on becoming effective lay ministers by learning from God's starter gifts in Acts chapter 18, 1 to 19. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12 teaches that God uses the starter gifts of today's evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip the rest of the body to do the actual work of the ministry. It's interesting, in many churches that you go to, they're taught that the one who's supposed to do the ministry is the pastor. But that's not what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says. In fact, Dr. Ryrie, in his footnote, says that you're supposed to take all the commas out of verse 12, so that God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some teachers and pastors for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, the saints are the ones who do the work of the ministry. And that's been the view that we've had at Epoch Church for many years. We've left the door wide open for people in the body actually to do the ministry. And if someone has a desire to serve the Lord in some capacity, if they see a particular burden or so forth, they're supposed to go ahead and assume the responsibility for it. So it's edifying to study the development of Aquila and Priscilla toward effective lay ministries. And we begin by viewing how God positioned them to become prepared to perform such ministries in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 19a. What I'm going to do is read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 19a. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew there named Aquila, who had been born in Pontus, which is on the southern shore of the Black Sea, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Emperor Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. So he came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Messiah. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his clothing and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one of the worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul by night in a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of the words and names and of your law, you look to it, for I will be no judge on such matters. And he drove them away from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio cared for none of those things. And Paul, after he thus tarried there for a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed unto Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and he left them. That means he left Priscilla and Aquila there. Okay, a lot happens in this chapter, but it's very important. A married couple by the name of Aquila and Priscilla were positioned of God by events and trials to meet Paul. It's interesting, they really didn't want to end up at Corinth. They ended up at Corinth because of problems. So when the Apostle Paul arrived at Corinth, he met there a Jew named Aquila. He had been born in Pontus, which is on the southern shore of the Black Sea, but he'd ended up in Rome. And in Rome, he faced expulsion from there by Emperor Claudius, since he was a Jew. and he had gone to Corinth. Apparently the Jews were creating tremendous amount of riots in Rome because they were all reacting against Christianity. And finally, Emperor Claudius just got tired of them making a ruckus, so he expelled all the Jews from Rome. And so that's how Aquila and Priscilla left Rome. They would have preferred to have stayed in Rome because Rome was kind of like a New York City in this day. There's a lot of business, and you can make a lot of business there. So they ended up going to Corinth. So Aquila and his wife Priscilla were tent makers, and that was the same occupation as Paul. So he stayed with them, with this couple, and they lived and worked together, all by the obvious sovereign assignment of God. It wasn't a mistake that they had to go to Corinth to meet Paul, and that they were tent makers. All of that worked together in order to put them into touch with Paul. Now, living and working together with Paul, this couple were greatly discipled by the Lord. This is verses 4 to 17. Aquila and Priscilla witnessed Paul reason every Sabbath in the synagogue, persuading Jews and Greeks, and saw him be pressed in spirit by the Lord to testify to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, we're not told if Aquila and Priscilla at this particular time were even Christians yet. We know later on they were. But they certainly heard the Apostle Paul ministering the word, so they picked up on the truth that he was sharing. This couple also watched Paul react to slander to his ministry as he turned from rebellious Jews to evangelize Gentiles in the house of justice who lived right next door to the synagogue, and there to lead the chief ruler of the synagogue next door to Christ, along with many other Corinthians that they were baptized, So Paul was an example to Aquila and Priscilla about what you do when you run into problems. You just keep functioning for the Lord. They kicked you out of the synagogue, so you go to the next door, and you preach until the leader of the synagogue next door comes to Christ. So Paul was a really kind of a bold fellow, and he ministered very effectively. And this has made quite an impression on Aquila and Priscilla. Then Aquila and Priscilla noted how Jesus Christ had then appeared to Paul in a night vision to encourage him to continue to minister amid threatening opposition, for the Lord had many people there. In verses 9 and following, it says, the Lord told him, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have many people in this city." Now that would have been a very important piece of information for the Lord Jesus to have given to the Apostle Paul, because in his first missionary journey, the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead. That was a very traumatic experience. So the people had tried to kill him. And so Jesus knew that Paul was under pressure. He knew that tension was mounting, and there would have been this threat of being stoned again. He didn't want to have to go through that event. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came to him in a vision and said, "Paul, settle down. I'm going to make sure that nobody physically hurts you. So you go ahead and you keep preaching. I've got a lot of people in the city." It's amazing. Corinth was known as, it's kind of like Las Vegas or like the Atlantic City boardwalk. It was Sin City. In fact, the Romans actually formulated a verb to Corinthianize in order to describe the most lewd types of practices that they could imagine. That's the way Corinth was. It was really a wicked city. But in that very wicked area, Jesus said, "I've got a lot of people here who are going to come to faith in me. So you stay here and you minister." So that was quite a revelation to Aquila and Priscilla as well. And accordingly, this couple witnessed Paul continue to minister there for 18 more months until the Jews made an insurrection against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat with the charge that Paul was teaching people to worship God contrary to their Jewish law. It's interesting, Gallio was the deputy of Achaia at that particular time, and we know from secular history that Gallio was in that position in only 1 year, AD 51, so that helps us to date the book of Acts. It's very fascinating how exacting Luke was when he was writing this account, and it demonstrates the validity of the New Testament record. Now, Luke was just, in fact, Luke to this day is recognized as one of the leading historians of the ancient world because he was so precise, he was so accurate. Anyway, Aquila and Priscilla then witnessed how the Lord had kept his word to Paul that he would remain unharmed in that city, as Gallio, the administrator on the judgment seat, refused to deal with a charge against Paul, as he stated it was a matter of the Jewish law, not of civil disobedience on Paul's part. In verses 14 and 15, He said in verse 15, if it be a question of words and names and of your law, you look to it. Now, why would Gallio do that? When the Romans took over the various parts of the world, they recognized a certain pockets of people and certain religions were protected. Judaism was protected according to Roman law. And at this particular time, the Christians mainly were Jewish. And so the Romans viewed Christianity as just a sect within Judaism. And since Judaism was a protected sect, they didn't want to have anything to do with it, because they knew if they got involved in going after the Jews and getting involved in their religion, they were going to stir riots up. And what Rome did not want was riots, because riots means you have to bring in soldiers, and that's expensive. The Romans didn't want that. The Romans wanted peace. They wanted a forced peace. So that's why this man said, if it has to do with questions about your law, forget about it. Later, the Jews learned to charge Christians with insurrection against the emperor because they were teaching another king, Jesus. And the Christians didn't deny that they believed in Jesus, who was a coming king. And that was a threat to Rome. And that's where the Jews got the Christians into trouble, because they got the Romans to believing that the Christians were actually insurrectionists against the city of Rome, which was a slanderous. But anyway, at this particular time, they just thought it was a matter of groups of people within Judaism who were struggling and fighting with one another. So when Gallio even drove the Jews away from his judgment seat, the Greeks there, with their pent-up anti-Jewish feelings, took the opportunity to beat Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. But Gallio ignored the incident as he resolutely refused to get involved in a religion that was protected by Rome. Now, what's amazing is there is a man by the name of Sosthenes mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1:1 who's a Christian. So if this is the same Sosthenes, and there's reason to believe that he was because it was a Corinth, the beating likely helped him to become a Christian. Ever heard of being beaten into the kingdom? But that worked in this particular case. So Aquila and Priscilla, they witnessed all this stuff. They witnessed all this maneuvering of events and people by the Lord to keep his word and protecting Paul so that the apostle could continue to minister at Corinth. And that would have made a tremendous impression on the couple. Well, after watching Paul go through this, through 18 months, and living with this man, working with him shoulder to shoulder, listening to what he had to say, by the end of this 18 months, these people, Aquila and Priscilla, were very committed Christians. So when Paul, the apostle, decided it was time for him to move, they went with him. They closed up shop, took their tent-making tools and everything, and went with Paul. They wanted to follow him from that point on. So having been discipled by Paul, Aquila and Priscilla, who are now devout believers in Christ and willing and prepared to serve him, decided to move their place of business and follow Paul as he left Corinth for Jerusalem. But what's interesting is that Paul left them in Ephesus to lay a groundwork for his later ministry in that place. It's interesting, verse 19, he came to Ephesus, and of course he's taking Aquila and Priscilla with him, and he left them there. And the Bible commentators indicate that he left them there in order to do a preparatory work, a foundational work, so that when he got back from Jerusalem — he was going to Jerusalem apparently for the Passover — when he got back, or for a meeting there at the temple, when he got back, then he could continue and start building on the foundation that they had left. So the lesson is, in preparation for an effective lay ministry, God arranged for Aquila and Priscilla through events and trials to end up in Corinth, where they would meet Paul, who was of their same trade as tent makers. There they witnessed Paul's teaching and life and God's great help and provision so that he could minister there, exampling for this couple a life of effective ministry by faith in the truth of Scripture and reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit. Impacted by all of this, Aquila and Priscilla followed Paul, only then to be assigned by him to stay in Ephesus as he went on to Jerusalem, that they might serve the Lord there, laying a foundational work towards evangelization. So to prepare to be used of the Lord for an effective lay ministry, we need to accept God's assigned realms of current employment and geographical location, for he wants us to be discipled in these contexts to become effective servants wherever he then may lead us. A lot of times people who are not behind the pulpit feel that, you know, they're not ordained ministers, they haven't been to Bible school, they can't serve the Lord where they're at, they're going to have to move. That's a mistake. where you're at. There's a reason why you're at where you're at. There's a reason why you have the job that you do, why you're in the house that you're at, why you're in the property you're at. That is a divine appointment, just like Aquila and Priscilla. They were kicked out of Rome. They were probably wondering, why are we ending up in Sin City, Corinth? But they had to end up there in order to meet Paul. That's where they'd be discipled and be trained. So there's a reason why we are where we are. So we need to keep our eyes open for what the Lord has for us. And then when God puts us in contact with his starter gifted servants, pastors, evangelists, and so forth, the lay people should learn from their teaching and exampling to live and to minister by interacting with the Lord in a life of faith as a pattern for our own future ministries. It's really amazing. I received word from my son-in-law and daughter that they're going to make Nepok Church their home. They've been thinking about it and praying about it, and they've been going around various churches and so forth. And Craig found himself saying, you know, every time I got into a theological problem, I always called up my father-in-law. And I thought, well, if I'm doing that all the time, why don't I just go to the church? So he got to thinking about it. But I realized both Joanne and Craig had their foundation here in this church. Craig came, I remember he walked down with his Kindle one day when he first came in, when he was starting to date Joanne. He didn't know the Lord at the time, but he loved what he heard, and his whole theological orientation was from Nepok Church. Joanne was here. She came here, she was, what, one month old? And she's grown up in this church. This is the only theological orientation that she's had. And they've made the rounds, a lot of other churches, and they just weren't satisfied. They thought, you know, we need to come back to Nepok. And so they recognized, you know, God's placed us in this situation. And I said, you know, when you come back, you're an independent family at this point. I'm going to treat you just like any other member of the church. Because, yes, I'm related to you, you're related to me, but you're members of the church when you become members of the church, and we'll relate to you accordingly. But they came to that conclusion on their own. They weren't pressured by us at all. We don't believe in doing that with their own children. But they saw that the Lord assigned them this situation, and they want to be here. And Craig, this is very exciting, is very interested about our internet ministry, and he wants to redesign our webpage. He feels it's time to update it. And nobody but someone who's a millennial, as far as the generation is concerned, knows what to do about that. He feels that our webpage is way outdated. He has a lot of ideas. And I said, well, when you come, we'll hook you up with Lewis Lee, and you go at it. See, you have some fun, or Gus is here. But he wants to redesign the whole thing and make it even more user-friendly than what it is right now, which is neat. But the Lord is going to equip him, and he'll have a lay ministry in that realm that I can't touch. I mean, I don't know anything about running the internet itself. I type up the lessons, that's it, and I send them to Lewis. But posting them and all that, that comes by other people. So it's exciting how God uses people in lay ministries. Lay ministries are absolutely essential in the ministry of the local church. But the way to get started is to recognize that you have an assignment from the Lord where you're at. Look at the open door that the Lord has given you. Learn from the starter gifts that God gives, the starter gifts, the pastor, teachers, the evangelists, and so forth, and then draw from that like Aquila and Priscilla, and then the Lord will use you effectively. In the next lesson we're going to come to, we're going to find out how the Lord used them very powerfully to prepare a very potent messenger from the Lord to have a much greater ministry, and that because of their dedication to Christ. But be encouraged. There's a reason why you're at where you're at. It's not a mistake. And God has you there for a purpose, and he wants to use you.